Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We began looking at this topic this morning, in a time accepted. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, we do thank you that we can come before you, that the work of Calvary's cross is done.
Amen.
Lord, that we can have confidence to come before your throne of grace. Lord, to be able to seek your face, Lord, to know that you hear us. And Lord, we're just asking that you would do a work that no one else can do.
Amen.
Father, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name,
amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in what? A time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is what? The accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Well, we looked at this morning that God is very long-suffering. And even though he is very long-suffering, there is a time coming when it will not be a time accepted. It will be a time of judgment. Notice in 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, 2 Peter 3:8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. That's the time accepted. That's now. But then verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So there's a time coming when it will not be a time accepted. Well, that's what we saw this morning. But let's move on here to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. There is a time to pray. Pastor Jeremy just in his prayer mentioned that we can come because the work is done of Christ, that we can come to the Father in prayer. Luke chapter 1, and if we could begin in verse 9. Luke chapter 1 and verse 9. There is a time accepted to pray. Luke 1 and verse 9. According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, and this is talking about Zacharias, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So Zacharias is going in to offer the incense. The people are outside that area and they are praying. Verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So, verse 10, again it says, the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Now we know from the book of Revelation, we see these angels pictured, and as the incense goes up before God, God's people's prayers come up before him. So that was a picture of our prayers going up before the Father. So, and in this time, verse 10, it was an accepted time for prayer. Zacharias is praying for a son. God hears his prayer. And as we think about that, what would happen if it's the time to be heard, but we didn't ask? Wouldn't that be horrible? If it was time for God to answer a prayer, but we didn't ask, that we had given up. Notice in Luke chapter 18, maybe there's some people that maybe you've about given up praying for. We must not do that. In Luke 18:1, the Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to what? To pray and not what? To faint. God wants us to keep praying. I know there have been people on our prayer list for a long time. We saw some old friends yesterday, and I was talking to one of the men and his wife. Her parents are not saved, and it's been many years, and they've prayed many years, but it's still the accepted time to pray because her dad is still alive, so we need to pray for him. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? A question. When the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? Will we still be some who are still praying? And what does this have to do with prayer and faith? It says there in verse 8, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, where do we get faith? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You see, when we give up on praying, and maybe when we become a little faint on praying, it's a good time to ask ourselves, okay, wait a minute now. Why am I not praying like I should? Or why am I so discouraged thinking it does no use to pray? Well, that should be a red flag that goes up to us for us to question, okay, am I reading my Bible like I should? If my prayer is slacking off, there is a very good chance that my Bible reading is slacking off. If I'm behind on my praying, there's a very good chance I'm behind on my Bible reading. Romans 10 and verse 17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So when the Lord said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, if it's questioning whether people are praying, whether people have faith, well, then the question is have they been in the Word? You know, the Bible tells us there's a famine coming of hearing of the words of the Lord. And, you know, with big tech trying to censor everything, you know, we may see that day come a lot sooner than we think. It might be hard. You know, I was talking with my wife. I forget what exactly started the topic, the conversation, but years ago on so-called Christian radio, it seems like it was mainly preaching, the preaching of the Word of God. There was some music, but it was mainly preaching. And gradually it switched over where many times now, if you tune into a so-called Christian radio station, a lot of times, it's mostly music and very little preaching, very little. And it's most generally not psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's most generally Christian rock. It's very tough. Even in Haiti, when we were in Haiti, somebody had brought down a bunch of, I don't know if they were solar-powered radios. They might have just been the crank ones, just little ones that, you know, you can crank their own power, and so you can pull in a radio station. And it kind of really was sad because I don't know who it was distributing those, but we were working one day in doing plumbing in the orphanage house, and I heard this rock beat. And I thought, where is that coming from? And then I found out, well, it's this little, you know, little radio from some mission ministry trying to spread throughout other countries and tuned in to some supposed Christian radio station, and it was the rock beat, and it just is really sad. So I was telling my wife, you know, it used to be many years ago, those who listened to Christian radio actually, it seemed like to me, were strong Christians because they heard preaching all week long. And of course, now we have the internet, and I know many of you listen to many messages throughout the week. and you have that access. But years ago, there was no internet. If you were to hear extra preaching beside what you heard in church, it'd have to be on some type of cassette tape back in those days. But what happened was that Christians became strong through hearing so much Bible teaching and preaching through the week. But then as those Christian radio stations switched over to contemporary music, it really was a detriment to Christians. And, you know, it's kind of like they say, I don't know who tried this or who did it or if they just say this, but, you know, you put a frog in water and continually slowly dump in hot water and you can kill the frog because it doesn't realize it because you're gradually turning it hotter and hotter. And that's about the way it is spiritually. You know, if we listen to music like that, you know what? It will gradually just suffocate us spiritually. We'll get so callous to the world sound that it'll just seem normal to us. And that is what happened a lot. So now is the accepted time to pray. Now is the time to be in the Bible. And I just want to encourage you, if you in your life, if it seems like your prayer life is not what it ought to be, you need to ask yourself, is my Bible reading, is my Bible study time what it ought to be? Because those two are going to be hand in hand. So it's the time accepted to pray. It was for Zacharias. It was the time accepted, and it shocked him. I wonder how many years. He was old. His wife was old. And it literally shocked him, and so he asked for an extra confirmation. You know, is this for real? Well, yeah, it's for real, all right. You're not going to be able to speak now till this child's born because you didn't believe me. So let's not give up. It's the time accepted to pray. Another thing, let's look at it. It's the time accepted to humbly serve the Lord. Let's look at Luke 7. In verse 36. Luke 7 and verse 36. It is the time accepted to humbly serve the Lord. Luke 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and had wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, how many tears would it take to wash a person's feet? It'd take a lot, wouldn't it? A lot of tears. And so, you know, this woman is not just putting on a show, you know, trying to work up a tear or two to fall down her face. I mean, she must have really been a broken person to produce enough tears to wash his feet. And verse 39, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what. What manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. What is he totally discounting? All those tears gushing from this woman's eyes. I mean, does this look like a woman who, you know, is smug in her sin? No, this looks like a woman who is a broken woman. She is broken in heart. If you hold your place here, turn with me, please, to Psalm 38. Psalm 38. He is not taking into account at all what he has seen before his very eyes. In Psalm 38 and verse 17. Psalm 38, 17. The Bible says, for I'm ready to halt, and my what? My sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare what? Mine iniquity. I will be what? sorry for my sin. You know what? If you go back to Luke 7, in verse 38, Luke 7, 38, I think it's pretty evident that this woman was sorry for her sins. This wasn't the time to, you know, if someone is already weeping over their sin, over their wretchedness, you don't have to beat them over the head with it, do you? No. And that's why Jesus did not. Crying. It's amazing, really. Crying hard enough to wash a person's feet. That would be pretty evident of her heart condition. Well, the critic is there. He's criticizing her. But verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? So just as a refresher, verse 41, one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Well, verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. Now, you have to remember that in this time when they wore like an open type shoe, like a sandal type shoe, their feet would get dirty. I mean, you're walking on dirt. I mean, how many of you have children that like to go barefoot or had children that like to go barefoot? What happens to feet? All you have to do is look at a barefoot child when they're walking away from you. And what do you see? The bottom of their feet as they walk. And what color is it? Black or dark brown. It's a lot darker than the top of their foot. That's for sure. So their feet got dirty. So it was hospitality to offer to wash people's feet. When you invite someone into your home to wash their feet. This guy didn't. Simon didn't. He invited Jesus in. Jesus said in verse 44, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Now, remember that verse 39, this is a Pharisee. And you know, I just have a feeling that the reason he didn't show this this normal hospitality of washing feet is because he was trying to be careful. You know, he wanted to invite Jesus into his home, but he wanted to make sure that no one could accuse him of being too accommodating to Jesus. So he's trying to keep his distance. Jesus told him, verse 44, you gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. How many of you have ever smelled smelly feet? Yes? Okay. I won't ask you to raise your hand, ladies, but how many of you would ever volunteer to wash any of your children or your husband's smelly feet and then wipe those feet with your hair? You would say, no way, no way. Even if you wash those feet with soap and water, you know, are you really going to get the smell out of it? You know, you're not going to want go on all day smelling that smell in your hair. But she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Once again showing, isn't it kind of evident that this woman is repentant? Her eyes are gushing out with tears enough to wash his feet. She's kissing his feet. I mean, is there any greater way to show humility than kissing someone's feet? It'd be hard-pressed. She's doing all this. Verse 46, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. I mean, normally you'd pour ointment on someone's head. In this case, she's putting it on his feet. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which what? Are many, are what? Forgiven. For she what? Loved much. How can you tell? She hasn't said anything. How can you tell? The water gushing out of her eyes, willing to wipe his feet with her hair, kissing his feet. And sir, you can't tell that this woman's heart is broken over her sin? It's pretty obvious. What Jesus is saying is the obvious. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. What a wonderful thing. You know, this is a time accepted. A time accepted to humbly serve the Lord. This is a time accepted to humbly repent of our sin. It's a time accepted. But you know what? There's coming a time when it'll be too late to humbly serve the Lord. It'll be too late to confess our sin because we're going to face death. And we don't know when. Notice in Luke 19, another point, there is a time accepted for cities and nations to repent. Luke 19, there is a time accepted for cities and nations to repent. I was saddened going up Lincoln Lake Road. I forget exactly why I was on that road. Oh, I know. My wife and I were taking something for Sister Stacy and the baby. And they had been building a little building just on Lincoln Lake Road south of 18 Mile on the east side. And now I see that it's a bar. And I think, I don't know, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you remember around the curve in Gowan, the bar that was there for years? And I think it burnt down. And then if your memory is a little bit further back than that, in down by the Baptist Youth Camp at Lincoln Lake, down where all those homes are in the west east side of Lincoln Lake, there used to be a bar down in there called the Lincoln Lake Casino. And no, I don't think they had gambling there, although I guess in a way it is gambling. When you're drinking liquor, you're gambling with your life, aren't you? I mean, you are. But anyway, and someone down there got killed. There was probably a lot of people got killed from being there, but someone died inside there. I was told that there was a man at the bar, and I don't know what he was doing. He was giving the bartender a rough time, and so the bartender called for the bouncer to come over. And the bouncer come over right behind the troublemaker, and I suppose he was flexing his muscles, thinking he's going to, you know, do this guy in. And the guy, in one quick motion, turned around, pulled out a knife from somewhere, and thrust it right into his chest. And the bouncer dropped to the floor and never said a word. He's dead. The people in that area, there must have been some type of lease situation, and after that, they discontinued it. So the Lincoln Lake Casino, the bar, was gone. Around the curve, not too far, I don't even know if it's a mile away, maybe, the Gowan Bar, burnt to the ground, never rebuilt. So I was not too happy to see another bar in that area raised up. And there's something else. I just saw some building. Maybe some of you will know, but there's some building that was torn down, and now it's one of these bars that are cropping up all over it. You know, since this craft beer craze that's happened, there are just at north end of Cedar Springs, there's a brewery. In Rockford, there's a brewery. can't even remember where I was. I can't picture it in my mind. I talked to Hathaway Hills today about losing your memory. So that happens. But this is a time accepted for cities and nations to repent. It's not just our nation that needs repentance. It's our cities. All these little cities, our breweries are cropping up all over. Look with me in Luke 19. Luke 19, verse 41. Luke 19, 41. The Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and what? Wept over it." Saying, so we're talking about a city. "Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are what? Hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side." So they're going to lay a siege to the city. Verse 44, "And shall lay thee what? Even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not what? The time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." So we find the city, he says, this city is going to be conquered. And then he goes into the temple. There's corruption in the temple. And is that not really? The time of judgment begins at the house of God. And if, as a church, we've turned it into a place to buy and sell, a place to party, a place that looks more like a nightclub than a church. You know, the lights are down. The rock band is playing in front. The fog juice machines creating the fog, the strobe lights, the different colored lights. It's more like a dance hall than it is a church. And that's what's happening all over. In the magazines we get for church supplies, they sell fog juice for these fog machines, for churches. You know, it used to be you'd see pictures of rock concerts where that's what they would use. But now churches are using it. Why? Because their praise team is a rock band. That's why. They're doing the same thing, same music, just different words is all they're doing. So it's time for cities and nations to repent. It's time for Greenville to repent. When Greenville makes ordinances to try to hinder us from preaching the gospel in the park, Greenville may think they're really doing well, all these businesses coming in. But I tell you, you can write Ichabod over it. When you try to hinder the preaching of the gospel with your ordinances, God's not pleased with that. This is the time for Greenville and Rockford and Cedar Springs and all these other burgs that are welcoming the alcohol and hindering the churches. Sad day. It's time to repent. Notice in 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7. There's a time accepted, but there's coming a time when it's going to be too late. Too late. There was an accident on M57 just by that Oasis business down there maybe a couple weeks ago. There was a young man and a young woman in the car, and he decided he was going to pass a gravel train semi on the right, on the shoulder side. And he lost control, hit a tree, like the car on the roof side just bent. He died in it, and a young lady died at the hospital. There's a time accepted to repent. But you know what? As soon as he hit that tree, there was no time to repent, was there? It was too late. And for the young lady with him, too late. Too late to repent then. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves. And isn't that what we've been seeing? Now is the time accepted to humble ourselves. Now is the time to humble themselves and what? Pray. And isn't that what we've seen? Now is the accepted time to pray. Jesus said, when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, if we're not praying, that means we're not in the Bible like we ought to be. Now is the accepted time to humble ourselves. Now is the time to pray and seek what? My face. You know, sometimes as Christians, we may not want to know what God says because we're afraid we already know, which means we probably do. You know, is there ever a time when you don't ask your parents about a certain thing because you kind of already know what they're going to say? Or you go to one parent instead of the other parent because you know if you go to the one parent, they'll probably say yes. And if you go to the other parent, they'll probably say no because you already know there's something wrong with it. So we need to seek his face. I mean, we need and should want to know, right? I mean, how many of you are looking forward to go to heaven someday? Yeah. Okay. Well, do you think everything in heaven is done according to the will of God? Of course. Well, then shouldn't we want to know what God's will is? That's the idea of seeking his face. I mean, we actually want to know, you know? We want to know what pleases him. Seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. That's what our nation needs. But it starts, as we saw, Jesus said, you know, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed, not going to be left one stone on another. But then he went to the temple. So the corruption was in God's house. The corruption was in the city. The corruption was in the whole nation. It's still the same formula today, isn't it? It is. And so may God help us. This is the time accepted. Let's pray. Let's humbly serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that this is the time accepted. But we don't know in the next moment if it will, because we don't know if we're going to be alive in the next moment. Or we don't know if some type of judgment is going to fall in the next moment. You also said there'd be earthquakes in divers places. And many times in earthquakes, people die. Father, please help us. This is the time accepted. Father, we think about all the mourning, the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth throughout eternity because people did not avail themselves of the time accepted. The time when their cry for forgiveness would have been accepted, but in hell, it's not going to be. It's too late. Father, if there should be any here tonight who have never yet trusted Jesus as Savior, help them to realize tonight that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. And then he was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving his pure and precious blood was enough to wash away our sin. Father, if there should be any here tonight whose trust is not in that pure and precious blood, may they receive you tonight. Please help us as Christians. We are so prone to procrastinate. And Lord, we know at one point it's going to be too late. It's going to be a time not accepted. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.